Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS, that's L-O as in Locked On Pistons, L-O-Pistons, will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Good news for the Pistons on their most important storyline, and that's the health of Reggie Jackson, who's missed the entire year so far due to injury. He practiced today 5-on-5 for the first time. It's another step toward him coming back. Stan Van Gundy predicted that Jackson would return. This was about a week ago. Van Gundy predicted Jackson would return in the first week of December. It seems like that's still on track, but Van Gundy clarified he's not counting on having Jackson back for the Pistons' three-game road trip over the week. And that's at the Hornets, at the Celtics, and at the Hawks. The other injuries still... nothing really new on Reggie Bullock, who tore his meniscus. Still looking for more opinions. The Thanksgiving holiday slowed that down. And the Pistons missed him, in particular, because they suspended Stanley Johnson for their win over the Clippers on Friday. The Pistons called it a violation of team rules. In other words, we know absolutely nothing. Some team rules are serious. Some team rules match laws. Some team rules are pretty minor. Some team rules, it's one strike and you're suspended. Some team rules, it's multiple violations. We really know nothing about what specifically this is, but we know that Stanley Johnson has struggled a lot on the court this season. He's been all off. His effort has been good. The results have been bad, which in some ways is a little more troubling because it makes it harder to find the solution. Johnson's been all over the place offensively. His shot is not falling, which just makes everything more difficult. But when he tries to force the issue, he has problems. When he lets the game try and come to him, he disappears. He can't find that happy balance. It's been rough. And on the defensive end, he has not made nearly as much enough of an impact to belong in the rotation. He's still contributing on that end because he plays hard. But there's only so much you can do when you just get lost. It just seems like a big step back for him this year after last year as a young rookie looking like a promising young player with still holes in his game, things he needed to round out. This year is a year older, but also worse, less productive. So that's disappointing. And who knows whether this is connected or not, but you could see how he would be frustrated this season and how that could lead to anything else. These players are people just like any of the rest of us. How their work is going, how their job is going, impacts them on the court. These things are related. And the Pistons did miss Stanley Johnson against the Clippers. They couldn't use him with Reggie Bullock also injured. So they turned to Darren Hilliard, and even Michael Binaget got some time in that game. Johnson was barely on the court against the Thunder the next night. And so really, it looks like Hilliard is sort of assuming this role that Johnson has to earn his way back. And if he was suspended, it's really not, that doesn't really bode well for his ability to earn his way back. It speaks to how deep his hole is to come out of. And so we'll see. We'll see how much we see of him on this three-game road trip. Four straight road games, but the Pistons came home after playing at Oklahoma City to the West, because now they're going to go east to play the Hornets, Celtics, and then Hawks. And this is a big stretch. You know, the Pistons lost to the Thunder, and they beat the Clippers, who I would say are probably playing the second-best basketball in the NBA right now, maybe third-best, depending on what you think of the Spurs, probably behind the Warriors. But they beat the Clippers at home. That's a real impressive win for the team. They played well. They had a balanced offense. A lot of things came together. It's a win you feel good about. And then the next night, You go play a flawed Thunder team with an excellent player in Russell Westbrook, but a team that's just so overall, and you lay an egg. And this Pistons team is drastically different at home and on the road. 7-2 at home, 1-8 on the road. And these last couple games showed some of the difference. The big thing is shooting. The Pistons shooting on the road has been remarkably bad. They were 9 of 19 on three-pointers against the Clippers, 1 of 19 against the Thunder at Oklahoma City. Just a huge difference. Most teams obviously are better at home than on the road. That's just common sense. I mean, we've seen this over and over. This is how it works. But the difference for the Pistons is much more than usual. Maybe that's a small sample size. Maybe that's the sign of something bigger, that this team in particular is either especially good at playing at home or especially bad at playing in the road, or some of both. More than the average team has a difference there. It's a little too early to say from the outside. If I were the Pistons, I would be looking closely internally to see what their processes are at home, at the road, whether players are getting the right amount of rest on the road, whether the travel is too burdensome, whether there's something they can do to simulate opposing crowds, if that's getting in their head, you know, trying to find what that difference is. It can be very difficult to discern from the outside. I don't really have an answer to this, but we can recognize this is a problem. Stan Van Gundy has basically said, like, it's time to stop talking about this, that this is screwing with their confidence, and that maybe this has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, that we spend all this time talking about how much better the Pistons are at home, how bad they are on the road. Maybe that's all it is. That's all it'll take to fix it and just stop talking about it. But if this is what it is, it snowballs and snowballs, and it can be a hard thing to break. What's a very easy thing is getting tickets from SeatGeek. And I do want to talk more about the Pistons, how they looked over the weekend. But before we do that, I do want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deals on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons. It's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. With Reggie Jackson coming back, I think the Pistons could be in good shape in that they've been forced to diversify their offense a little bit. They cannot run everything through the 1-5 pick and roll like they could with Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond. Ish Smith and Drummond don't have that type of chemistry, so they've been forced to do some other things, and that could bode well once Jackson comes back, because I do think that Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond have this great pick and roll chemistry, and they can go right back to it. It might take a few games to develop it, but like I don't think there's anything fundamentally not happening there that's going to keep them from reestablishing that. And then they could also work on integrating some of the things that they've shown. And a couple of those we saw over the weekend. A big one is KCP filling a larger role, getting more shots. He had a career-high 10 assists against the Clippers. He's doing more. Sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable with him running the pick and roll with the ball in his hands. But if you can pick and choose your moments for it, when the matchup is right, when the situation is right, when he gets the ball late in the shot clock. I hope now, after this experience, he'd be more comfortable with it. Yeah, option A is still going to be Reggie Jackson. Every time you can run a pick and roll through Reggie Jackson rather than KCP, you're pretty much going to want to do it. But sometimes teams are going to try and take it away from Reggie Jackson. Sometimes KCP is going to have the ball and the shot clock is, you know, halfway through, and the best option is going to be for him to run the pick and roll himself. So I do think that this could be good for him. His shot has come around, at least until playing the Thunder. But some nice signs for him offensively. It's still a little rickety. He can still be very streaky. And there are still going to be questions from the people who are reluctant to pay him the contract that I think he's headed toward in free agency, which is the max or near it, just because so many teams need wings. He's so good defensively. He's a pretty good three-point shooter at his best. He has a nice stroke. You can see him getting there. He's young. People are going to question his offense. It's not going to make this big leap this year that I think a lot of people hoped for, that a lot of people thought was possible. I think he has shown enough where that seems unlikely. Maybe he gets it together. Maybe it was just a slow start, and now he's going to make the leap. But I think most likely he kind of is what he is this year, and that's still pretty good. And I think he's rounded out his skills thanks to these opportunities with Reggie Jackson sidelined. The one other thing from this weekend I wanted to cover was down the stretch against the Clippers, Stan Van Gundy turned to John Luer over Tobias Harris down the stretch and said he was doing that because he wanted Luer's defense. It's an interesting thing. Luer is not a classically good defender, but he is tall for a power forward in today's NBA, and he defends hard. You know, he has good effort on it, and his height, it just makes it so much easier for him. He doesn't need to be elite, just being a little taller, and I keep comparing him to Anthony Tolliver, somebody else who defended as a stretch four with a lot of effort. Tolliver is a couple inches shorter. It made his life much harder. And so Luer has this advantage and this ability to defend. The Pistons starting lineup allows 110 points per 100 possessions. That's not good. That's around usually what the worst team in the league does. If you swap John Luer for Marcus Morris, which incidentally is the Pistons' second most used lineup, that drops all the way to 96.5, which is usually better than the best defense in the NBA. But if you leave in Marcus Morris and instead swap Luer for Tobias Harris, which is what the Pistons did against the Clippers, it's 102.4, which is also a very good mark. So the track record is there that Luer has found a way to defend well overall, but especially with the Pistons' other starters, it's nice to know the Pistons have figured out something here that works, that you can ride either Tobias Harris or Marcus Morris, whichever is producing more offensively that night, because both of them also can be a little streaky and maybe a little matchup dependent at times. I think Tobias Harris is definitely the higher ceiling offensive player. Marcus Morris is a little more steady. And you can swap out one of those forwards for John Luer and have a better defensive lineup. That's something the Pistons have uncovered, that they've learned about themselves as a team. I don't think this is the type of thing that will change with Reggie Jackson back for Ish Smith. I think this is just a nice, solid progress of Stan Van Gundy learning what works. And that's what you want to do early in the season. Yeah, you want to win games. That was always going to be harder without Reggie Jackson. You also want to figure out what you can do to win games later and what you can't do, what works and what doesn't, so you know what you can go to. Experimenting is useful. Experimenting is good. And I think the Pistons have uncovered something that was helpful in beating the Clippers. Hopefully for the Pistons, they can get a few more wins coming up when Reggie Jackson gets back, a little more margin for error. The problem is he probably will not be back on these during these next few road games. That's the impression Stan Van Gundy gave so far, at least. So they will have to continue grinding it out for about three more games. We'll have coverage of all of those games throughout the week. We're here every Monday through Friday. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Check out todaysfastbreak.com. And don't forget to go to SeatGeek, download the mobile app, and enter the promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in Locked On Pistons. L-O Pistons, and that'll get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Thanks for listening.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.